Translation of 27. O Lord, before I begin, these are prayers being recited. Does everybody know who's reciting these prayers? Huh? No. Yes, the Prajapatis. They are the Prajapatis are the forefathers, the sons of Lord Brahma, and they have come along with the Supreme Lord, and they are now appealing to Lord Shiva. They have a very important request to make, and before making such a request, it is generally good to get on the good side of the person to whom you want to make that request. So generally glorifying prayers, prayers which glorify the qualities, the attributes, the powers, the abilities, this is what is being done throughout this series of prayers, which is basically they're showing their appreciation for Lord Shiva, and when he knows that they are fully appreciative of so many of his wonderful services and wonderful qualities, he's then certainly in a mood to hear their requests and will most likely accede to it. So, translation, O Lord, the sky is your navel, the air is your breathing, the sun is your eyes, and the water is your semen. You are the shelter of all kinds of living entities, high and low. The god of the moon is your mind, and the upper planetary system is your head. Text 28. O Lord, you are the three Vedas personified. The seven seas are your abdomen, and the mountains are your bones. All drugs, creepers, and vegetables are the hairs on your body. The Vedic mantras, like Gayatri, are the seven layers of your body, and the Vedic religious system is the core of your heart. Excuse me. Mukhani pancho panishadastavesha. Yaistrim shad astotara mantra varga. Yatach jivakyam paramatra tadvam. Deva svayam jyotir avastitiste. Mukhani pancho panishadastavesha. Yaistrim shad astotara mantra varga. Yatachchiva kiyam paramatma tatvam. Deva svayam jyotir avastitiste. Mukhani pancho panishadastavesha. Yaistrim shad astotara mantra varga. Yatachchivakyam paramatma tatvam. Deva svayam jyotir avastitiste. Please chant.
Mm-hmm.
ladies. Mukhani, faces. Pancha, five. Upanishadha, Vedic literatures. Tava, your. Isha, O Lord. Yaha, by which. Trimshat, Asta, Uttara Mantra. Vargaha. In the category of 38 important Vedic mantras, yat, that, tat, as it is, Shiva Akyam, celebrated by the name Shiva, Parama, Atma Tattvam, which ascertain the truth about Paramatma, Deva, O Lord, Svayam Jyoti, self-illuminated, Avastiti, situation, Te, of your Lordship. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. O Lord, the five important Vedic mantras are represented by your five faces, from which the 38 most celebrated Vedic mantras have been generated. Your Lordship, being celebrated as Lord Shiva, is self-illuminated. You are directly situated as the Supreme Truth, known as Paramatma. Purport. The five mantras mentioned in this connection are as follows. 1. Purusha. 2. Agora, 3. Sajyojata, 4. Vamadeva, and 5. Ishana. The five mantras are within the category of 38 special Vedic mantras chanted by Lord Shiva, who is therefore celebrated as Shiva or Mahadev. Another reason why Lord Shiva is called Shiva, which means all auspicious, is that he is self-illuminated, exactly like Lord Vishnu, who is the Paramatma. Because Lord Shiva is directly an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, he is situated as Lord Vishnu's direct representative. This fact is corroborated by a Vedic mantra, Patim Vishvasyatmeshvaram Shasvatam Shivam Achutam. The Supersoul is called by many names, of which Maheshvara, Shiva, and Achyuta are especially mentioned. Omagyana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So, to begin with, this was not the verse I prepared for. actually, it was the one that was Bhrigupati was supposed to do yesterday, but because we had guests, he did the verse, I believe, but then he introduced persons to what are movement is all about, what bhakti yoga is all about. So that was what I had prepared, but I think I can somehow bring some relevance of today's purport into what I just wanted to very much speak about. First of all, these glorifications that we are reading seem so very much as to be attributed to the absolute Supreme Lord Vishnu. And Srila Prabhupada mentions, yes, they are all to Lord Vishnu. But the Lord Shiva being a Shaktivesha incarnation, a Shaktivesha avatar, an empowered incarnation of the Supreme Lord, he is being referred to as having all those different attributes and qualities and powers that the Supreme Lord has. Of course, this does not mean that they are equal. But the qualities that are being manifested, obviously, Lord Shiva has by virtue not of his own endeavor, not of his own effort, but by the grace of the Supreme Lord. There is only one Supreme Lord, and he manifests himself in many different ways, as different incarnations, Vishnu Tattva incarnations, and Shaktivesha incarnations. And all of these have different degrees of power which the Supreme Lord, Lord Sri Krishna, allows them, or enables them, facilitates them to have. So, therefore, one can be very easily misled in reading this. It would seem that Lord Shiva, is he the Supreme Lord? Because look at all these attributes that so many sages spoke of about Lord Vishnu are now being spoken about Lord Shiva. So that's why it's very important to have a bona fide spiritual master like Srila Prabhupada to explain these things so that one does not come out thinking, well, actually they're all equal. Here's Shiva, and I mean, he has all the same qualities that... So, as we say every morning when we chant those prayers, offenses to the holy name of the Lord, to think that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are independent of the name of Lord Vishnu is actually an offense. So, therefore, as we can see in the purport and the previous purports, Srila Prabhupada puts everything into balance and into perspective, making it very unmistakably clear to us that everything you are hearing about, everything you are reading about, pertains to Lord Vishnu. Nonetheless, because Lord Shiva is an incarnation, a Shaktivesha incarnation, he has many of these qualities that Lord Vishnu has. So that if there's any confusion on that point, that this should actually clarify that particular point. What I wanted to really talk about is the tremendous amount of mercy that that Lord Vishnu manifests in so many different ways. Here we are getting another example of one of his enjoyable mercies, enjoyable to him, of course. Now, what is this mercy? The mercy that that the Lord very much delights in is giving credit, giving honor, giving glorification to his devotees, especially those devotees who are pure and who glorify him, who honor him, who surrender to him, who want nothing from him except the opportunity to merely serve him, to love him, to adore him, to honor him. That's all they want. And those types of devotees who are looking for nothing from themselves because they consider themselves truly zeros, but in that circle of zero, which originally was full of Maya, Maya has disappeared and filling it up now is Krishna. So whatever qualities a devotee has, whatever attributes he has, if he has some ability, he has some power, he may speak well, or he may write well, or he may produce songs well, or he may cook very well, or he may dress the deities very well. All of this well, all of this ability, all of this is coming from the Supreme Lord. He is all perfection, and any perfection that we manifest comes as a gift, comes as a grace, if you will, from the Supreme Lord. And that grace, if we attribute it to the right person, especially, we may be complimented, we may be praised, honored for that particular gift that we manifested or that ability that we manifested. The devotee who actually understands this philosophy, although outwardly he may graciously thank whoever is praising him or honoring him or complimenting him, thank you for your kind words, because these are expressions, of course, of love. Anytime somebody says something nice to you, he doesn't have to. He could call you a fool, an idiot, an imbecile, but he called you, he said, oh, what nice, you cooked such great halva today. I hope we get this again tomorrow. He didn't have to say this. So, therefore, love should always be recognized and respected and appreciated and not merely taken for granted. If it is not taken for granted, this again, Krishna is very pleased when devotees do not take these particular compliments and praises and honors for granted, but rather see them as the attributes, as the gifts, as the graces of the Supreme Lord. Everything is emanating from the Supreme Lord. Yes, the spiritual and material worlds are emanating from the Supreme Lord. All the knowledge that Lord Brahma has in creating all of the different forms and shapes are coming from the Supreme Lord. The infinite knowledge that is possessed by Krishna is inconceivable. We cannot even imagine it. And what is so amazing and what is so mind-boggling is when Krishna acts and plays as if he were just an ordinary person, and sometimes as if he didn't even, couldn't. He fights with his little friends. He loses battles. Where is this power which is being shown in the moving of these different planets, the endless amounts of universes, millions of universes, all of which are being sustained and being kept up and maintained by that one little boy who's playing and sometimes doesn't even speak well and loses battles to his friends, he has to carry them on his back. It's kind of ironic. It's kind of humorous how the Lord enters into the human arena and plays just like one of us and delights so greatly himself while he does this. We cannot understand what a person who has such intelligence as Krishna has, you know, to float so many universes in existence, how could he get any fun out of just playing with his boys, playing tag and hide-and-go-seek and jumping into little ponds after frogs? I mean, what is a person with such intelligence, why would he be doing something like this? But because Krishna is, as I said, he cannot be understood by the material mind. And if you try to see it or understand him in terms of the material mind, you get nowhere. All you do is you shake your head and say, this doesn't make any sense to me. But it makes a lot of sense to Krishna because we don't know all the things that make Krishna happy. Let me rephrase that. Krishna is already happy. He doesn't have to become happy. But he adds to his happiness, increases his happiness, raises his happiness, and that's where all his devotees come in. The devotees, through their pure loving services, each one very unique, each one is in his own individual way, when that service is offered very purely, lovingly, in an unalloyed fashion, this is what we call pure nectar for the Supreme Lord. And when the Lord gets this nectar, what does he want to do? Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. So how does he reward? He rewards by giving these different gifts. Some of the gifts that he gives us are come in the form of feelings, transcendental bliss, transcendental peace, transcendental strength, transcendental love. All these feelings come from super soul and are directed injected, I would prefer to say, into the soul, and the soul then feels that joyfulness or that peacefulness or that strength, and it then flows into the mental body and then into the physical body, and the physical body may then manifest different symptoms of this ecstasy. Some of those symptoms, a person may be stunned. Suddenly, you're talking or you're looking at the deity, and you suddenly can't move. You're stunned. There's a complete feeling of all you want to do is look at Krishna,
All you want to do is hear about Krishna. All you want to do is think about Krishna. So you may be stunned, or you may perspire profusely. The sweat comes down from your armpits and down the side of your face. These are different ecstatic symptoms that a person may have. The horripilation, or the standing of the hairs on the arms and on the neck, may go up. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are eight in particular, but actually many more that Lord Chaitanya manifested, which are not even in the scriptures. But as I said, horripilation is one of them. Trembling. Sometimes the hand trembles. Sometimes the lip trembles. Lord Chaitanya, it seemed like his teeth were trembling, that were about to fall out of his mouth. So this trembling comes. Weeping, profuse weeping. At times, Lord Chaitanya would weep so profusely and so intensely that they would act like, have you ever seen atomizers? You squeeze them and they shoot the perfume out. So his tears would shoot out, and whoever received those tears would just wipe them all over their body. Or if the tears would fall on the floor, they would dive, get those tears, and move all over their head because they were blessed. It was not water. It was not merely salt and water. It was pure love of God manifesting in the form of this perspiration. So perspiration, and one may, in a still later stage of ecstatic consciousness, he may lose consciousness of the external world, in which case he goes into what we call samadhi. He doesn't hear anything, doesn't see anything, doesn't smell anything, because he's internally absorbed, often in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, or Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, or the cowherd boys, whatever his particular focus in loving devotional service happens to be, that's where his mind is. And we have many examples of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he used to enter into this stage, and he would enter into Goloka Vrindavan. And sometimes the cowherd boys, he wasn't breathing, so they would try to wake him up, and they would shout the holy name, they would chant Hare Krishna, and finally he would come back, and he says, "Why did you take me away? Why did you disturb me? I had such a wonderful time. I was with the gopis of Vrindavan," etc. The point in being is that he was able to completely absorb and withdraw himself, and as a result, he was in complete ecstasy. And there are many of his devotees also enter into these kinds of It was not only Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There were different devotees would do so. Anyway, the point I would like to make especially is that Krishna likes very much to glorify his devotees. He likes to honor them. He likes to give them credit. In fact, this particular pastime, as Srila Prabhupada says in one of the purports, has been arranged by the Lord in order to give Lord Shiva a credit, which actually could have been taken by Lord Vishnu himself, actually, for this poison, this I think it's halahala, that's what it's called. This poison, which was devastating to the entire universe, Lord Vishnu could dissolve it. He's omnipotent. There's nothing beyond his ability. And he could get rid of it. But he doesn't need adoration. He doesn't need profit. He doesn't need distinction. He owns it all. He has it all. There's nothing outside of him. But he loves to give credit to his devotees. So the arrangement that he has made is this this halahala, this poison, which was came as a result of the churning of the ocean of milk, and this poison came up and it started to travel throughout the skies and the universe, and therefore it was necessary in order to save the lives of persons all over the universe is to in some way bring it together and dissolve it. So the first thing that was done is he led the demigods to Lord Shiva in Mount Kailash, and he was sitting there with his wife, Bhavani, and there were some disciples and devotees there. And so when they approached the Lord, as I mentioned at the very outset of today's talk, is that the demigods and also the Prajapatis, they began to, before they even asked for what they wanted him, of course, to somehow dissolve that poison, swallow that poison, get rid of the poison. So, remember, the Lord himself, Vishnu, he led the demigods to Lord Shiva because he wanted to glorify his devotee. Lord Shiva is known as one of the greatest devotees of the Lord. And being one of the greatest devotees, that gives Krishna so much pleasure to glorify such a devotee, to have many people honoring him, celebrating him, applauding him, and remembering him for the great act, the great beneficial act that he performed, which he's going to perform, which is the swallowing of this poison. So here we have on all of these different different prayers which are being recited by the demigods and the Prajapatis, Lord Shiva is being told how wonderful he is, how great he is, how loving he is, how kind he is, how sweet he is, how venerable he is, and on and on and on and on. So he's listening to all of these things, and so is it not normal that after someone says so many nice things about you for 10, 15 minutes, you want to know, what can I do for you? I mean, you've given me so much praise and so much honor and so much glorification. How can I in some way reciprocate the feelings that you have offered to me back to you? So what happens is that they finally do ask him. They tell him exactly what has happened, that this poison is now going all over the universe, and it is absolutely necessary for the poison to somehow be dissolved. And we thought that you would be the best person to do that. So Lord Shiva, he talks to Bhavani, and he said, well, I think I can do that. What? He gave her some say in the matter, because she is his wife, and she said, yes, I know that you can do that. That's nothing for you. So then what happened was that, interestingly, to obtain the poison, he just put his palm out, and he closed his eyes. And through his meditation, he was able to gather all that poison into one particular poisonous essence so that it could fit into one palm of his hand, which he would then put to his mouth, and then he would drink it. And that's interesting how he could actually, contain this, how he could reduce the size of it. It reminded me a little bit of some of the things going on today. Some of you may remember when I was doing my tape ministry, and I had my Srimad Bhagavatam took up 4 albums, and it took up 64 tapes, and each one was 92 minutes. So when a person would buy a whole set of them, it was like so much, like that. So with the march of time and the march of technological progress, now this has been able to be reduced to one DVD disc. 64 tapes, one. So everything was compressed into this electronic form. So here we see Lord Shiva taking all the poison which is scattered all over the universe, and he brings it to his palm, puts it into his mouth, and then drinks it and holds it in his throat. Now, holding it in his throat caused his neck to become bluish. If you ever see the pictures of Lord Shiva, his throat is bluish. And one of his names is Nilakanta. Nilakanta means blue-throated one. So this was his sacrifice. And in doing the sacrifice, he actually saves the world. But actually, the one who really saves the world is who? Lord Krishna. Krishna is the true savior. But here we have this wonderful example of him wanting to glorify his devotee. And of course, after this period, this became known all over the universe that Lord Shiva saved the world. And that gives great pleasure to Krishna. Why does it great pleasure? Because he loves his devotees. And just as he loves his devotees love him. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I'm always in the heart of the pure devotee. The devotee does not know anything else but me, and I do not know anything else but him. And so Krishna says, engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee. Offer obeisances, worship me, thus completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. So Lord Shiva's, his main meditation is he meditates on Lord Ram, day after day, night and day. And Lord Ram, as we know, is non-different from Lord Krishna, and therefore being a great devotee, he wants people to, Krishna, Vishnu, wants people to admire him, wants them to love him, wants them to understand what a great devotee he is, because here he has saved the world. So that is the important point that I wanted to make. The same characteristic is present in the story of Prahlad Maharaj, how Hiranyakashipu tries again and again and again to kill his son. And yet as hard as he tries to do that, he is always unsuccessful. And ultimately, Prahlad, who has no weapons, his only weapon is the love in his heart that he has for Lord Vishnu. And that is the greatest of all weapons. Because if you have pure love for the Supreme Lord, then the Supreme Lord promises to give backup, to give support, to give maintenance. I was just trying to think of that particular verse. Those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and preserve or protect what they have. So this is what the Lord does. And to the degree that we are, that we surrender to Him, because as it's mentioned, as they surrender to me, I reward them. To that degree, that reward that He gives us is His closeness, His nearness, His presence, His ecstasy, His love, and His protection. So when we have that, we have actually everything. There is nothing to aspire after once we have the presence of the Lord, the direction of Krishna, the guidance of Krishna, as we see it coming from these books, as we see it as it comes from devotees or sages who are in at one with the Supreme Lord, experiencing the presence of the Lord, just as Srila Prabhupada so wonderfully did. What he spoke was what the Supreme Lord was expressing through him, and he was a perfect instrument of Krishna's words and Krishna's desires and Krishna's wishes. So it is the wish of the Supreme Lord that we be benefited, that we be helped, that we advanced, that we become exalted, and that we develop pure love of God. And for this purpose he sent Srila Prabhupada, which is the greatest benediction that this country or any country could ever obtain, because it is the basis, the means by which a person can become free from all miseries, those which come from one's own body and mind, those which come from other living entities, and those which come from the environment. And as you look in the newspapers, all you see is misery, misery, misery. Every day, not every day, but almost every week, you find somebody goes into a school and starts shooting kids. Or he goes into a store and starts shooting people. If not that, then the economy falls and people start diving off the tops of buildings. It's so much misery. And people try to forget that there is misery by watching and turning on these different sitcoms, which allow them or help them. It's like a drug to forget and to think, yeah, everything is okay, everything is nice, everything is good, and then you go to work the next day and you got a pink slip. Don't come back, and we'll see you, and we'll see you in a few months or maybe a few years if the company can still last. So miseries are everywhere, and we as devotees must take full advantage of this time that we have, because we don't know when we're going to die. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be, it's going to happen. We're on the list, we're online, and it's going to happen. So we should think that it's going to happen in 5 minutes. And if we have this mentality that it's going to happen in 5 minutes, then let me chant with all the sincerity that I can muster in my heart. Let me pray with all the intensity that I can possibly. Let me depend completely upon Krishna. Let me consider Him my all in all. Let me, at the same time, offer charitable activities to other devotees. Charity meaning, let me serve different devotees. Let me, whatever talents I have, whatever abilities I have, let me do that as a way of pleasing the Supreme Lord. Because if Krishna is pleased by our actions, especially when we serve different devotees, then He blesses us. And that blessing is what we need to go further or to go higher to the point that we are aspiring after, which is Krishna Prema, pure love of God, and back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or any comments you'd like? Yes, Prabhuji. That's another class, Prabhu. Yeah, I don't want to. I want to talk about this class, okay? That's a different pastime. So if you have any questions, we can also take that privately. I'll answer in just one sentence, because Narada Muni has taken. Did you say what did the? What did you say? Why does he curse him?
Yeah.
We'll take it another time. Okay. It's longer than I believe. Yes. Someone else has a question? Yeah. Yes, Madhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for such a nice class. My question is, when Ramapada Swami was here, he said that, and you also repeated it today, that Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. So my question is, what about Radharani?
Lord what?
Lord Shiva is considered the greatest Vaishnava, but what about Radharani?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. The question is that Lord Shiva is considered the greatest of Vaishnavas, and what about Radharani, and what about so many others? Actually, we have to understand that this is a category of greatness, okay? Category of the greatest. So when you're in that category, you're one of the greatest, okay? So whether you say, if you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it goes on and on that Srimati Radharani is the greatest devotee of the Lord. Then you have Lord Shiva being the greatest devotee of the Lord. The important point is you're in a specific category. In that category, I am not qualified to talk about who is greater in that category. All I can say is that is a category of greatness. And we are on a lesser category. We're not in that category. We aren't even probably even near it. And once you're in that category, you will know by the way the Lord arranges things and the way he guides things as to who is higher, whether it's Srimati Radharani. And those are questions that really, as I said, at this point in our time, all we should be trying to do is emulate them to the best that we can, and trying to become better in our devotional service by serving those great devotees. Okay? Yeah? Any other questions? No? Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.